coming to you from the Sherpa Chalet at the top of beautiful downtown Mount Podcastia. It's a special episode of Too Many Podcasts. I'm Jim the Podcast Sherpa, and today it's a special episode where I get to speak with people from the entertainment industry. So get yourself an aisle seat, pop up some popcorn, and get a cold drink ready, and sit back. Don't crunch too loud, or else you'll miss the interview from the Sherpa Screening Room. Hello, Rebels. It's me, Jim, the Podcast Sherpa, and welcome to the Sherpa Screening Room, a production of Too Many Podcasts. I'm going to start off the bat just by letting you know that today's podcast is being brought to you by Audible, and you can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/Sherpa. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Hey, you know what you could get for a free download? The book Jaws by Peter Benchley, or you could get the French version of it called Les Dents de la Mer, which is like the teeth of a sea or something like that. Why am I discussing Jaws? Because this summer is the 45th anniversary of the release of the movie Jaws. You may have seen it, maybe you didn't see it. It's an incredible movie directed by Steven Spielberg with an excellent cast. And today, I get to talk to the guy who designed the shark. His name is Joe Alves, and he's worked with Steven Spielberg on numerous movies and other directors as well. A lot of movies that you may or may not recognize, but he did an incredible job in whatever he's touched. And it doesn't matter the scale or the difficulty, Joe Alves is the guy to get the job done. And he definitely got recognized for that job that he got done, and we'll get to that in the interview. You'll understand what I'm talking about. So why don't we head on down to the conference room and listen in on the conversation that I had with Joe Alves, and we can hear a little bit about his book, too, in the Sherpa Screening Room. Hey, Rebels, it's me, and we are in the Sherpa Screening Room, and today for me is really a treat. And, you know, when you go to the movies and you see the end of the movies and there are all these credits and you don't know exactly what these people do, but they were part of making something incredible. My guest today has been an art director, production designer. He was working the art department. He's the second unit director. He's been a producer and a director as well, and all sorts of behind-the-scenes things that you may not have seen him on the screen, but what he's done for some of your favorite movies, you definitely want to get to know our guest. Everybody say hello to Mr. Joe Alves. How you doing, Joe?
Hi, I'm fine, Jim.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. This is really an honor to have you. And I want to congratulate you because you recently received an Art Directors Guild Award.
Yes, the Art Directors Guild, they have an award every year for the various pictures. They give awards for best comedy, best period picture, best, you know, and then they give special awards. Two of them were given to people that have passed away. But I was fortunate to get a Lifetime Achievement Award, which is, you know, they don't give that many away anyway. it was quite a ceremony. There were about 1,000 people there, and I needed someone to introduce me. Now, this is interesting because they asked me, who could I get? And I said, well, most of the people that I've worked with have passed away. Debbie, who runs the office there, the art director, said, well, how about Steven Spielberg? I said, well, I feel a little odd asking Steven. He's very busy and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So they said, well, we'll see. We'll talk to him. So this was a couple of months ago, and they came back and said Steven said he was sorry he couldn't do it because he was working on West Side Story. And I was at I have a book out, a new book out, written by Dennis Prince, and the foreword is by Greg Nicotero, and it's called Joe Alves Designing Jaws, and it's available on Amazon. Anyway, Greg said, oh, I'd be happy to introduce you. Now, Greg is very popular today. He does most of the direction on The Walking Dead and a new show, Creature Show, that he has. And so he's known, his generation were big Jaws fans because they were 10 or 12 years old. So I've known Greg for a long time. Anyway, So at the ceremony, he introduces me and he talks about the things that I've done before, what inspired me. And on the screen behind him is they're starting to display the various movies that I worked on. When I was 19, I worked on Forbidden Planet, and I animated, assistant animator, the id, which is that creature that comes on, but that was years ago. Anyway, suddenly on the screen appears Steven Spielberg. And Steven says, hi, Joe, remember me? And he proceeds to just give me so many compliments about how well we worked together on Jaws and how difficult it was. And we thought we could conquer the ocean, but we couldn't. But we did okay, and the picture did all right. And then he talks about Close Encounters. And he said it was the, and still, he said, was the biggest set he's ever worked on. Anyway, that was a big surprise to me, and then I got up and I made my speech. But it was very, very nice of Steven to make that film for my presentation.
Our listeners can tell, Joe made a couple of little movies like Jaws and Close Encounters of the Third Kind. You were the one who designed the shark in Jaws, is that correct?
Yeah, I was actually not only designed it, when the studio didn't really want to make the movie at all. And people in charge of effects said that it would take a year and a half to make the movie, make the shark, and they had other movies that they thought were more important, like the Hindenburg and whatever. So as I was walking out from this meeting, Marshall Green was the head of production there, and we had all the department heads there. As I walked out, he called me back and he said, can you get the shark made? I says, I certainly could try. He says, well, take it off the lot, which everything was always done on the lot in those days with the studio system. Take it off the lot, find a team to do it, and go ahead. So I found Bob Matty, who had done the giant squid in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And I found various other people. We had a team. Physically, they were going to make the shark. I started working with an ichthyologist, and I did a four-foot model, and I did a lot of illustrations, and that's how it started. So basically, I designed it, but I also was in charge of putting the whole unit together. And the only problem was we didn't get a year and a half. As soon as the book came out, which is about a month or two before we started working on it, they said, we have to start shooting this movie in 2-3 months. So we were running behind constantly because we didn't have all the prep time that we're supposed to. But that was a problem with the shark is the time. And, of course, weather and the water and stuff. But it was a difficult, very, very difficult movie to make.
Was it a weird thing? I mean, probably considering what you went through all the mechanics of it, and then all of a sudden you're seeing this on screen, and it's scaring the hell out of everybody in the movie theater.
Yeah, actually, and I'm not just telling the audience to buy the book, but the book, what we did is we really focused not on the movie, like, you know, concerning the actors and directors, but really the difficulty, the technical stuff is all in the book, storyboards and the blueprints and the model making and the various people. And this is sort of really not done often because you find mostly books about the actors and the directors and writers. But this is how a movie is made, the backstory, you know, what you see on the screen and how it got there. And very complicated thing to do.
Sure, and you know, with a movie like Jaws, you can't have a schlocky looking shark. You've got to have something that brings the realism to it. And I'm sure you know you and your crew did this amazing job, and you know, it's something that people are still talking about.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. So this was last week. I went to the Academy there for the art directors, but then later in the week, I flew up to Seattle because Carl Gottlieb, who wrote a book called Jaws Log many, many years ago, right after we did the movie. Anyway, he had contacted me a few months ago that there's some playwriters, and musician, playwriters that are making a musical called Bruce. Bruce was the name we gave the shark.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to, they're reading it up in Seattle at a theater up there, an incredible theater. So I went up there, and they had about two dozen people playing all the various parts. And obviously, one was me and Spielberg and the various, Verna Fields, the editor, the two actors. And so it's really quite interesting doing a musical about the making of Jaws, the hardships of it, and, you know, will it succeed? No, it won't. Yes, it will. And it was really quite inspirational to see it. I had some comments. My character has a number of solos, and we're singing about working with the ichthyologist and how to design the shark, and Bob Matty, who built it. And so they're going to open it probably in December, so they're going away. They just wanted to do this reading, and then they're going to come back in a few months and put the cast together, and then I'll work with the designer who's going to do the scenery, you know, because that's a different kind of design to do stage work, because a lot of it is projection today. But they got a great designer, the same guy that did the Academy Awards, so I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in the next few months.
You had a pretty successful relationship with Mr. Spielberg because not only did you do the shark for Jaws, you also designed Spaceship and Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
What happened, I met Steven on a television series called Night Gallery, and then we did a few of his early televisions, and then his first feature was Sugarland Express with Goldie Hawn, and then Jaws, and then Close Encounters of the Third Kind. It wasn't just the spaceship. It was this big arena. Like he said, in all these years he's worked, this is the biggest set he's ever worked on. And it was too big for a soundstage. We shot it in Mobile, Alabama, and it was like a football field wide and a football field and a half long. So it was 300 feet by 450 feet. And it was all covered black. It had to be inside because of the lighting. We had like 48 arcs at the top. And I did have a spaceship that came down and it opened and it had like 4,000 photo floods on a mirrored Mylar ramp, and then the aliens came out. So, yeah, that was a big project. It took months to build the set and months to shoot. And, I was nominated for the Academy Award. I lost to Star Wars, but I won the British Academy Award against the same people who were British. It was a pretty well-received movie.
It must really take some sort of imagination, you know, between for you and your team to come up with things that have to look so impressive visually, you know, even like between the shark and the spaceship for Close Encounters.
Yeah, with the shark, I had a very small team, so it was difficult. Close Encounters, I had a great illustrator, George Jensen, who passed away. So I got some really good storyboards we painted. So Vilmos Zsigmond could look at the painted storyboards and really get an impression of how we want to visualize this. And worked with Steven, obviously, and so it was a question of having a really good team, doing a lot of models, made models of everything, illustrations of everything before we built it, and then it's just one of these projects that takes so long, you know. And Doug Trumbull came and did the visual effects; he was well known, and the team I think did an incredible job. George Lucas, who did Star Wars, he came on our set, and he was blown away. He said, "We never did anything like this in Star Wars. We just had the same little set, and we just kept repainting it, you know." So it was just quite a different approach.
I want to bring up the title of your book later at the end of the interview, but I want to also direct some of our listeners to a website called Joe Alves Movie Art, and there are some of the sketches that you did for some of the movies that you worked on.
Yeah, there's the storyboards. There's Yeah, when I took my storyboards from Jaws and I make copies and I sell those, the storyboards and the illustrations. So, also, there's another movie I have some illustrations on there called Escape from New York. That was John Carpenter film.
With Kurt Russell.
Yes, and John Carpenter, and it was an interesting kind of movie, sort of a dark mood kind of thing. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun making that one.
Yeah, and again, that's probably where that great imagination comes into play, because I guess you're creating like a post-apocalyptic New York.
Well, exactly. We went to New York. John and I, we were top of the Trade Center when they were still there, and we looked down at New York and said, this is too much, too big. And it was a small, low-budget movie. We needed a bridge that nobody was using, and we found one in St. Louis. And so I built a big wall, and that was the wall that sort of locked in New York. And then we found other, they had some urban renewal, so we could just trash a second of the city there every night. And there was an old railroad, station there that we used. So that worked out quite well. And, Kurt was, he's a nice guy.
And you started out as an animator for Disney?
I was 19 years old. I was at art school in my second or third year. I was down in L.A., and I actually was born in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I didn't want to come back home for the summer. I wanted to see if I could find a job and stay in L.A. And I met a friend. I had gone to my first year of school. It was in San Jose. And I saw him. I came home for some time. And I said I was looking for a job. And he says, oh, my wife's father works at Disney. So I called this guy, Andy Ingman, and I thought maybe I'd get a job, summer job, sweeping up or something. And as it turns out, he said, bring your portfolio. I said, well, I don't know if I'm ready yet. I just turned 19 years old. And so he said, no, bring your portfolio. So I brought the portfolio and looked at it, and he says, well, you're too late for the training program, draw Mickey Mouse, but I could put you in special effects where you animate water and fire and things like that. And generally in the industry, animation, you start off as a trainee and then you become in betweener, and then maybe a year or so you become a breakdown artist, and a couple more years you become an assistant animator, and then after years at Disney you become an animator and you do the full thing. So they take me in this room, I'm working with this lady. I said, what do I do? She says, well, you flip the pages and draw in between. So I said, I could do that. Well, long story short, she was working for Dwight Carlisle, who was working for Josh Mehta, who was like the king of effects. He did the fire in Bambi, did the Night on Bald Mountain, and he was doing a movie for MGM called Forbidden Planet, and he was animating this id, this creature that lights up. So basically, I was working with her. She had to leave after a couple of weeks. I start working with Dwight, the assistant, and anyway, after another month or two, he got sick. He had to go to the hospital. So now I'm assisting this top guy, and we're drawing the id. And it was just unbelievable how fast that happened. So I'm drawing the id, and I spent some time there, and then I worked on Sleeping Beauty, and I had an interesting thing happen to me on Sleeping Beauty. The three little princesses, fairies, they're little fairies, and she was holding a cookie. And so I'm drawing the cookie, and I have somebody reach over my shoulder and correct it. So, no, the cookie should look like this. And it was Walt Disney. Walt used to do that, walk around, and so believe me, it was another time. But it was that was my introduction to be in movies, and I did that for a few years. But then I really wanted to get into live action, and so I proceeded to do stage sets and things to get a portfolio in that direction.
And if anybody that looks on your IMDb page, they can see all your amazing credits. I mean, you've done so many movies and a lot of TV, especially through like the 60s and the 70s. That was really seemed to be your high spot. Yeah. What advice would you give to somebody who wanted to get into your field?
Well, it's so different today because when I was coming up, I had to learn architecture so I could do architectural drafting as a set designer. I had to be able to illustrate, you know, so I could do storyboards and illustrations. And so I had, you know, a number of years in art school to do that. Today, a lot of people use the computer. They do draw on the computer, but a lot of it is just capturing stuff. So it's quite different. I would still say if you want to be an art director, production designer, which is same job actually, I think you should be able to draw, because there's one thing in visualizing something and being able to put it down. So I think there's a big advantage to learn how to do illustrations and learn how to do architectural drawings, because so much of the stuff you do is architecture. So that's basically it. Study art direction by drafting and illustrations, and just find a really good school that specialized in that kind of thing. And you know, what I did is that I worked in a little theater designing sets, and I built a portfolio that way. But there's a lot of things now, because you could go out and that are non-union, and people that are doing commercials and things like that. So get a portfolio together. Make sure you know how to express your ideas visually. That's the important thing. You could draw on the computer. That's fine. But be able to, you should be the one in the room that knows how to put that visual thing down so people can see what you want.
Let me ask you, what have you been doing with yourself these days, Joe? Just been kind of taking it easy?
No, I do a lot of sculpting. I have full-size sculptures. I did a lot of mermaids for some reason, and now I've been doing various animals, and I do a lot of wood or clay, and it's quite, you know. And, of course, the book took a lot of work with Dennis. He's written a biography, which we're trying to get Titan published, the new book. But working with him, trying to recall all the stuff I've done. And I was so fortunate that I kept everything from Jaws, and all the storyboards and all the illustrations and stuff from all the movies. And I haven't moved, so I just threw it in a footlocker. And so I worked with Dennis a lot. And then, of course, we've been having book signings. We did a book signing in Sacramento, and we're going to do a book signing in Martha's Vineyard in July. And my sculpting. Now, I keep pretty busy, actually.
It sure sounds like it. That's for sure. So just for one more time, would you like to let everybody know what the title of the book is?
Yes, it's calling Joe Alves, Designing Jaws.
Okay, and they can get it on Amazon?
Yeah, it's Titan Publishing. It's on Amazon, and it's a beautiful book. I think they did a great job. We did a book, a preceding book, because a couple of years ago, Catalina Island Museum, they had a Jaws show for 6 months with all the Jaws drawings and various props from the movie. And then we sold that, and then Dennis got Titan to publish it, and so they added another 30 pages, and it's pretty well full. What's interesting, I didn't know why he wanted to do this, but with the Jaws, people seem to want it. I did a set breakdown where you take the script, and then you break down the script page by page by page as you go through each scene, and then you make comments about, you know, what the set needs, what the props and stuff like that. I saved all that, so all that is published in the book. It's pretty amazing, you know. It's a very complete, let's say, illustration of how to design a movie.
And what I will do is I will put a link to the Amazon link on our show notes. So if anybody wants to go take a look at the book, they can just click right on the show notes, and it'll take them right there, and they can see what your book is all about.
Yeah, and then, of course, the storyboards are available on joealvesmovieart.com.
Yeah, that is a really great website. I was looking at it earlier today, and I was like, wow. Wow is an understatement, Joe, to put it honestly.
Well, take a look at the book. Amazon, I think, Jim, you'll find it interesting.
Okay. Well, before I let you
go... It's not that expensive. I think they sell it a lot cheaper than we were selling it, in a bookstore. That's Amazon, you know.
It's yeah, like, well, you know... They'll own my podcast eventually too, Joe.
Yeah.
Listen, before I let you go, I wanted to thank you so much, not only for being a guest on my show, but for all of the work that you've done that made a lot of those movies a lot more memorable. You know, it was guys like you that really, you know, things that were so impressionable and people what people really enjoyed about Hollywood. And a Lifetime Achievement Award is great, but you know, I think it was a long time coming because it, you know, there's a lot going on with you, sir, and it's really greatly appreciated in case you don't hear it enough.
Okay, well, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming on down to the Sherpa Screening Room, and a special thanks to Mr. Joe Alves for his time. Hey, if you like this show, please subscribe and leave a nice little review for me on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. And you can follow me at Sherpalution on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. If you don't want to hear the show on your favorite podcast app, you can make it a little bit easier and just go to my website, Sherpalution.com. Let's turn it over to a guy who definitely doesn't need a bigger boat, Mr. Bruce. If you can, please show everyone the door. Thanks so much. Be careful in that parking lot and look out for sharks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Too Many Podcasts. Please disperse. You can go home now. I said you can go home now. Viva la Sherpalution. Viva la Sherpalution. Yeah, I'll come back now you're here.